Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the Radio Home Show live from the USA. Jay here from the Sunshine State of Florida. Guys, lots of sad breaking news tonight. My partners in crime are back with those good easy Pepe Farms and BP.
Howdy, Jay. Today we celebrate the anniversary of the 1811 landing of the first U.S. colonists arriving in Washington State at the aptly named Cape Disappointment, an occasion that has lived up to its namesake to this day. Also, a communist was exiled to a place even colder than Siberia this day in 1961, or so they say.
You know, like Washington State, yeah, it certainly has lived up to disappointment. Good evening, BP. How's your week, sir?
My week is excellent. I am on location here, so don't worry about the traffic. It's okay.
All right, we got BP on location. Guys, sad breaking news today. Mass shooting at Tennessee High School, multiple casualties is what was originally reported. This story has changed so freaking much today. I almost had to fly out to see Pepe Farms to get it fucking straight. So they reported originally multiple gunshot victims reported, including a KPD officer, which that is true, but newly updated. It wasn't clear if the person described as a male was a student, but an officer approached him, shots were fired, the statement said. The person was killed, and a Knoxville police officer was struck at least once, suffering from what the department said were non-life-threatening injuries. A second person was detained for further investigation, authorities said, which they originally reported was the shooter who was a black male. Now, the backstory really isn't that important, guys. It's just sad.
Yeah, indeed. It's sounding more and more like it was a gang shooting because not long after that, another school was put on lockdown because of the drive-by shooting. Like, there was still some blood feud going on. But, of course, this school, Austin East Magnet High School, is a public school in East Knoxville known for its magnet performing arts program. So whatever you say, Jay, just don't say anything about actors, and we'll be just fine.
That's true. It's pretty incredible that we have gang violence going on still. Supposedly.
I think we all were talking pre-show. I think the best thing, and they're not going to take advice, that the mainstream media can do is shut the fuck up until the authorities speak. BP, what do you think?
That's exactly right. Part of the issue is the sensationalizing of the shootings themselves. And when they sensationalize it, they always make it seem like the gun is an active living being, which is incredible to me to understand. So,
well, yeah.
What do you guys think?
In all my years being around guns, I was a police officer at one time. I've never seen a gun kill somebody on its own. Pepe.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've got this thing about zoomorphism. Anything that's bad, they want to make it, you know, give it animal attributes so that you'll be scared of it, like that shadow in the bush we keep talking about.
Yeah.
You know, fear is a powerful tool.
Yeah, you know, they were hoping it was some white kid that had gunned down a bunch of other white kids in the school, or preferably minorities, but since it's just a gang shooting, it'll get swept under the rug as quickly as they can.
Yeah, it'll be off the front tomorrow.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say, BP. We will not hear, it'll be crickets after today. All right, guys, well, let's get into it, gents. It's always Florida man, or in this case, Florida woman. Florida woman on bath salts claims she's Harry Potter, kills federal judge and runs over a 6-year-old boy, from the Gateway Pundit. A Florida woman that claims she is Harry Potter fatally struck a federal judge with her car and seriously injured a 6-year-old boy after taking bath salts and driving on the sidewalk. Natasha Snape, I'm going to call it Snape, 23, killed Judge Sandra Fierstein, 75, who was visiting Florida from New York on Friday. Snape also ran down 6-year-old Anthony, I won't butcher his last name, before crashing at an intersection. Police say Snape then fled into neighboring Delray Beach, where she crashed. A Delray police officer said Snape appeared to be having convulsions, but was able to get out of the car. She stared into space and would only say she was okay, the Tribune reports. Police say that the ambulance, Snape began screaming, fighting with medics while she was yelling, "She is Harry Potter." The medics drugged her, like she needed more. Police say they found in her purse the synthetic drug normally known as basalt, which can cause psychotic episodes. I think I'm having one now. Go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bobby. Well, go ahead.
It sounds like she's really confused. Was she Snape or was she Harry Potter? I don't know. But now, this isn't the first federal judge in the New York area who's been killed and had all or part of their family killed. Was she one of the Epstein judges? Do we know that yet?
No, I don't know. I do know
several federal judges and their families involved in either directly or tertially involved with the Epstein case have been killed and had their families killed just shortly before all federal judges refused to hear information on the voter fraud cases, of course.
Now, I do know that she was overseeing a high-profile case, but I don't remember which one. Go ahead, BP.
Well, I was just going to say that's interesting that that'll make the correlation in judges and their demise. We all know the evidence that's out there, so that is very
She's a federal, long-time federal judge who's provided over high-profile cases on Long Island. Mm-hmm.
And I believe she was hearing one over a police incident, or I don't remember. You're the human computer, Pepe. You'll find out what it's about and let me know. But anyway, you know, it just, you know, bath salts. I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck they are, guys.
It's a synthetic narcotic that you could buy at you know, porn stores for a while, because it was just different enough from other narcotics that it wasn't illegal because it's a synthetic. But it's illegal now. I think started to have some uptick in the UK. But that's why it's kind of strange that this chick was driving around on bath salts. You know, if you were planning to assassinate somebody, wouldn't you have some bath salts in the car and stare up into the air and say you were Harry Potter? I sure would.
You know, I got to be honest, the first time I heard this term, bath salts, I thought it was something you soaked in the bathtub.
Well, that's what they were sold as.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, hence, all right, that makes sense. All right. Anyway, guys, crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, go ahead and let's roll the audio sound by Ice Pepe. You won't hear about this on mainstream media. What you just heard was Antifa terrorists set fire to the Portland, Oregon ICE facility overnight Saturday while chanting, "Every city, every town, burn the precinct to the ground." Federal agents were inside the building when Antifa terrorists set the entrance to the building on fire. And if you see the video, it's horrifying. But according to Marcus Attorney General Merrick Garland, these attacks are not considered domestic terrorism because it happened at the night. It happened at night. The fuck does night have to do with it? Federal agents eventually exited the ICE facility and used pepper balls to push back on the terrorists. I'll tell you what, guys, the hell with pepper ball. These criminals are trying to burn you alive. Go Full Metal Jack on their asses.
Yeah, no doubt, right, Jay? Well, I guess it's not terrorism if they try and burn cops alive at night, because at night you need light. And fire is light, you see? But I got to admit, Jay, that tune is kind of catchy for, you know, as far as the destroy all humanity with communism chant goes.
Yeah.
Now,
that's true.
Pepe,
that's true.
Pepe,
talk about ice, baby.
Is the Merrick Garland, is the Merrick Garland they're talking about the same Merrick Garland that didn't make the, you know, the team?
Oh, I'm not sure. They're the same one that's been releasing everybody that gets arrested for attacking people,
yeah.
If that's what you mean.
It'd be interesting to know if that's the same one that Obama couldn't get through. BP, what's your take on this one, buddy?
I think it is the same person because they were bringing up some of the footage of him during his when he was nominated by Obama. They shot him down. So he's been resurrected by Biden for this one.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, guys. So I hope you're sitting down. I know
yes,
BP's
ma'am.
On location. I know BP's on location, and I know Pepe's in his bunker. Trump reportedly called Mitch McConnell a dumb son of a bitch, and Fauci still full of crap at Mar-a-Lago on Saturday night. Well, he's not wrong, though. The Washington Post Dossi and the New York Times reported that Trump called McConnell a dumb son of a bitch and a stone-cold loser. Trump claimed McConnell asked for his help because people can't stand him in Kentucky. And I got to tell you what, we have a lot of family and friends in Kentucky, and we can't find one person that voted for McConnell. Says McConnell turned on him, has no personality, and is a stiff. Quote, I hired his wife. Did he ever say thank you? Unquote. Mocked Elaine Cho for resigning after January 6th. She suffered so greatly, he said. Dossie continued on the report that Trump came back to McConnell later in the speech to complain Democrats are tougher than Republicans. If that were Schumer instead of this dumb son of a bitch, Mitch McConnell, they would never allowed it to happen. They would have fought it, he said of the election certifying. The crowd cheered. Of course they did. Trump also took aim at Dr. Fauci, asking, have you ever seen anybody so full of crap? And no, by the way, guys, no, I haven't. Pepe.
No, not at all. Let's all raise a glass of 1985 vintage Austrian antifreeze wine to Fauci and all the other swamp rats, Jay. Where would we be without them?
We would be in trouble. What? We are in trouble. No. Go ahead.
Trump is a gift that keeps on giving. I don't care.
Yeah, what was that recent article? Trump's power has only begun to rise and won't peak until 2040 or something like that.
The thing about it is they don't – he just keeps bouncing back. Whatever you do, just bounce back, which is pretty incredible. Politically, to have no political experience says a lot about the person.
But, you know, BP, I really think, at least for me, that's what drew me to him. You know, I was a Democrat. Well, I was a waning Democrat in the second term of Obama. And then, of course, there was no way in living hell I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
But my brother, I think I've told this story before. My brother, who was a staunch Republican, and I was a Democrat. When Trump came down the escalator that day, I looked at him and I said, that's the next president. And he looked at me. I thought he turned white as a ghost. He goes, you're saying that? I'm like, I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Yep.
And
I
it did.
I see it now. Yeah.
And it did. All right. Hey, Pepe, this is so good, guys. Let's listen to Liz Cheney on Face the Nation.
All right. Hide your aircraft carriers. Here she comes.
As a party, we need to be focused on the future. We need to be focused on embracing the Constitution, not embracing insurrection. And I think it's very important for people to realize that a fundamental part of the Constitution and of who we are as Americans is the rule of law. It's the judicial process. The election wasn't stolen. There was a judicial process in place.
Guys, I think we can stick a fork in Liz. She's done.
Yeah, as John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And Ms. Cheney there is a prime example of that.
But PP, what fucking judicial process is she talking about?
The one where they killed all the judges' families so that they refused to hear cases. That judicial process.
That process right there.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Look, the interview is like, I think, 8 minutes long, guys, the entire interview on Face the Nation. And I told Pepe, I said, I wanted to take ice picks and stick it in my fucking The only way I could make it through is because I wanted this fucking clip for the show. It gets worse from there. Go back and check it out, guys.
Hey Jay, you're probably old enough. You remember back in the 70s, they used to have like this styrofoam painted brick. It was called a TV brick. So if you get mad at the TV, you could throw it.
Yeah, I do indeed, sir. I do indeed. Of course,
now with our Chinese-made flat screens, the foam brick would still break the TV. But
yeah, you know, there is that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. And laughing my ass off news, it's over. David Hogg backs out of anti-Trump pillow company. Hogg made it 2 months in the pillow business and seems to have manufactured exactly zero pillows. In February, the anti-gun activist David Hogg announced that he was launching a pillow company based on progressive politics after Mike Lindell and Mitello. Lindell, being an ardent supporter of President Donald Trump, were criticized by the mainstream media. On Saturday, Hogg announced that he was ceding all ownership and control over his pillow company. In February, Hogg partnered with an entrepreneur named William Legat to create Pillow Company, and in his words, put my pillow out of business. Just over 2 months later, Hogg resigned from the pillow company, Good Pillow, and claims that he'll be focusing on his education and activism instead. This little puke, you know what? This little son of a bitch got me a 24-hour ban on Twitter.
Nice.
Because he was talking some bullshit, and I said, you know what? I said, let me wait a minute to see if a fuck will fall from the sky into my hand, and I'll give it to you. And it got me 24-hour banned.
Wow.
No doubt. You were threatening him with words. But, you know, Jay, David Hogg literally lost a pillow fight to a reformed crackhead. Great activism there, Hoggy.
Oh, good. That was good. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, that was a good one. I like the reform crackhead. Sure, but the crackhead's a millionaire, so there you go.
Exactly. Who doesn't like a good reform story, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the left doesn't, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, guys. All right. In hypocrisy news, and to be absolutely clear, I believe Black Lives Matter. Hispanic Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, just not one more or the other less. Patrice Kahn Coers, the leader of Black Lives Matter and self-described Marxist, recently purchased a $1.4 million home in exclusive Los Angeles neighborhood where the vast majority of residents are white, which it doesn't, that I don't even know why that's in the story, according to reports. The home, which features 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, is nestled in Pango Canyon and has a separate guest house on the property, according to a celebrity real estate blog, which reported the transaction last week. The property, which is about 15-minute drive from Malibu Beach, features bamboo floors, vaulted ceilings, according to the listing. Once a hippie enclave in the 1960s, the Pango Canyon is now home to sprawling homes where 88% of the residents are white. After the sale of the property was made public, critics to social media to blast Kahn Coers. Black Lives Matter, which began a hashtag in response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman in 2012, shooting of Trayvon Martin, took in more than $90 million last year and was at the forefront of protests across the country last year after the death of George Floyd in May. Con Coler's 37 signed a multi-million dollar deal with Warner Brothers in October, although it's not clear how much she is paid by BLM since their finances flow through a complex web of for-profit and non-profit corporate entities. Now, guys, $90 million is a lot of dough. What I'm asking is what community, what school has the money gone to help? Has it helped any deprived area? It's a legit question. And it seems nobody is asking until today, a top leader of BLM is asking that question. BP, you first, we want to be open and have adult conversation on all topics. What do you make of this, bud?
Marxists being Marxists, basically. You know, they look out for their self first and then everybody else later.
Yeah, but I think that's most of people that have money. That's doesn't matter the skin color. I mean,
no, the thing about it is when you have an organization that's sensitive, deal with sensitive issues for a certain particular community or people, and you abuse it, which is fairly common in the African-American community, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, you know, oh, how do they make a living? So she's using the blueprint that they've already done for years and just making it for her own benefit.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
know,
I think.
Another show, we'll talk about the Reverend Al Sharpton. I don't think he's ever been in a church, other than to get paid. But anyway, you're right. You make a great point. Go ahead, Pepe.
Well, you're asking if it helped any deprived areas. I'd say since most of the contributions went to the DNC, it certainly helped some depraved areas, perhaps. But it's always been hashtag Black Lives Manners. You know, cue the Jacksons theme. Moving on up.
Oh, good Lord. All right, guys. Protests erupted Sunday night in the Brooklyn Center about 10 miles north of Minneapolis after Dante Wright, 20, was shot and killed by police during a traffic stop on Sunday around 2 p.m. The shooting sparked mass riots and looting, causing police to eventually respond with riot procedures. Because nothing says justice like looting or rioting. One juror in the Chauvin trial lives in the city and others have connections to the area. Defense attorney Eric Nelson said this morning, arguing the unrest could bias a jury's decision in the Chauvin case. Hennepin County Judge Peter Cahill denied the motion. Quote, this is a totally different case, he said. Adding, quote, that's a separate issue and the jury should treat it as such. It'd be a different story if it was civil unrest following a different verdict. I don't understand that part of it, guys. Cahill said the court would sequester the jury during deliberation, which he expected to begin next Monday following the closing arguments. Now, we have to do an update on Mr. Wright's tragic story because this is absolutely heart-sickening to me. This afternoon, police released the body cam video at the briefing. Chief Gannon played the body cam footage in the incident, which showed an officer attempting to handcuff Wright outside his vehicle when Wright suddenly jumped back inside. A female officer could be heard yelling, taser, taser, taser. I watched the teletype. I thought she said, I'm going to tase you. But anyway, before discharging her weapon as Wright drives away, the officers can then be heard saying, oh, shit, I just shot him in apparent disbelief. Now, guys, again, I was a police officer, and I don't know of any time that your firearm, your sidearm, is on the same side as your taser. And your taser has a big yellow fucking handle. Have you guys seen the body cam, Pepe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm so surprised that this has happened in a quota hire police force, demoralized and defunded by their leadership. How could this happen, Jay? But even not just in this police department, this exact same thing has happened multiple times where female officers are, you know, they've got a weapon out, and between the time that they've drawn their weapon and when they go to deploy their taser, they forget that they already have their weapon in their hand. One of the big misconceptions that people have about firearms is that police should have them because they're trained with them. They're not. Police are not trained with their weapons. They have to occasionally pass a certification test, which might be all of 20 rounds in a year.
Well, you know, BP, one of the interesting things about that news conference was the chief said during the officer's distress.
Exactly. Distress. Yeah. So my thing is they didn't have enough training.
Well, it doesn't take any training to know that a smaller, relatively large female officer shouldn't be trying to handcuff the spry, young, athletic male.
Exactly.
Because that's what happened. She was trying to get him in handcuffs, and he pulled away and jumped in the car. She grabbed a weapon, thought it was a taser, said, taser, 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 then went bang, and then said, oh, no, I shot him.
let me interject, Pepe. I mean, even if he jumped back in his car, I've watched the body cam several times. He wasn't reaching for anything. Obviously, he's trying to get away,
The female officer had failed to be able to use physical and pain compliance and was resorting to her bat belt, and she grabbed the wrong tool on her bat belt.
Yeah. And again, I don't know how, if you are, I believe she was right-handed, so her firearm would have been on the right side, her taser would have been on the left. If you can't tell your left hand from your right hand, you're probably in the wrong fucking job. BP, go ahead.
She's not anymore. she definitely got to do something else. Comes down to training. They don't get enough of it, and they don't get the right people into the job. So, and it's hard to recruit. I mean.
Oh, it is now.
Well, remember, they have quotas. They're not allowed to quote via meritocracy. They have to hire based on, they have to have this number of females and this number of minorities. None of it is a meritocracy. There's a big story about the armed forces and how they're following marching soldiers around with rescue cars to pick up the women to drive them to the end of the march.
Anyway, I was just really shook by this story. Nice looking kid. I think had a child. I'm not 100% sure, but I just think this is a tragic, tragic event.
Yeah.
Well, there was a warrant out for him.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't think it was a felony warrant. Which it doesn't really matter. But if we know who you are, so you get away, we will find you. But, you know, anyway, guys, I'm conflicted by the story.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of those, they tried to drive away and they fired randomly at the car. But, no, it was just pure incompetence.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it really sickened me. All right, guys, so I guess Iowa says no to house migrant kids. Quote, it's Biden's problem, unquote. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds addressed the audience at a dedication of the new preschool learning center, House Migrant Kids, lack of clear plan for federal support. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said she rejected a request by the federal government to house migrant kids in state for temporary housing, saying that the state does not have temporary facilities to lend and need to find a home is a presence problem. Besides, her mandate and priority are the health and safety of Iowans. Now, if 40 other United States could grow a pair, though I believe a few have followed suit. And breaking before showtime, Columbia, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster's today issued Executive Order 2021/19, which directs the South Carolina Department of Social Services to prevent the federal government from placing undocumented, unaccompanied migrant children from the southern border in South Carolina foster care and group homes. Pepe.
Well, I can understand the Iowa thing because Iowa is known for corn, not baked potatoes.
Tinfoil on the baked potato. Get it.
Oh, Lord God.
Yes.
No, I'm going to pass off to you, BB.
I think that was great. To get some type of plan, what you're seeing is just a failure on everybody's part. You know, Camilla hadn't gone to the border. She's afraid of the border. Can't get my shoe
well,
dirty.
She still hasn't been to the border. She still hasn't
yeah,
been there.
She still hadn't been to the border. How many weeks already have we been in? You know? How many weeks has it been since he named her that position? She hadn't made the trip yet.
At least, what, two or three, four? What, Pepe, how long has she been the czar of the border? Which, by the way, the czar of the border resigned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all know that none of these people are actually running anything, so it doesn't really matter where she's at. But I think she was like at a taco joint in California or something.
In Oakland or somewhere. Visiting the family.
I mean, I guess taco could be, you know.
Dealing with Mexico,
Don't be racist, Jay.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, good Lord. Okay, guys, and what the fuck is going on in Canada? 200 armed riot police break up a Christian church service in Canada after the Christians tore down the fence that the government had built around the Edwin Church. The police sent in 200 heavily armed riot police. Now, this is not, Pepe, the same church we played the audio clip of the police pastor telling cops to get out. Just to be clear. Video captured the moment 200 armed riot police officers at Edwin Canada entered Grace Life Church and broke up services after the congregants removed a fence previously erected by police to prevent Christian worship due to unscientific COVID-19 lockdowns. After the Christians tore down the fence the government had built around the Edmonton Church, the police sent in 200 riot officers, wrote Rebel News founder Ezra Levant. That church building you see there, this is China, Iran stuff, but it's happening in Canada, unquote. Guys, this is insane. But they didn't shut down any mosques, Pepe?
Well, of course not. They all sit down in the middle of the road on a blanket, right? So as long as they socially distance, they don't have a problem, I guess. But the weird thing is that if you do have COVID, then the Canadian government is going to lock you up in a rape hotel. So they're really just arguing whether or not the church people should have allowed to be inside the fence yet.
We really should have got your Canadian friend on for this one. BP, what do you make of it? I mean, it seems like over and over, like California, where Christian services, you can't do that, but you can go to Walmart.
Well, I mean, it goes back to their part of the plan that they're trying to employ on everybody: control, fear, getting rid of the churches. You know, you got to get rid of the churches because people can't have anything to believe in. We want them to believe in the system that we're trying to put forward, which is fear and control. So.
Well, I guess now churches are racist? I mean, I don't know.
No, churches are not racist. Churches are the enemy of the culture that's going on now. You know, Trump was the first president to speak openly about God and prayer and love, prayer in school. I mean, when I was a kid, that's what we had, prayer in school.
Well,
but they went,
I can,
took that shit out quick.
Well, I can say when they started taking prayer out of school and they started taking, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance out of school, that's where we started fucking going downhill.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Well, I just did a quick internet chart search, and indeed, churches are racist, and Christians are more likely to be – white Christians are more likely to be racist unless they go to church. So I guess there's some kind of double entendre or a contradiction they're trying to work out there in Canada.
Good Lord. Oh, God help us because we need it. Okay, folks, that's the midway point. Be sure to join our friends at the Not Sorry Show Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central at dlive.tv/Not Sorry Show. You can also follow us on Us and Them on Gab. Our Gab group, gab.com/groups/5179. Grab you some Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show and episode 4 of Big Think with Pepe. Tonight we're going to be talking about all those people that say you're not allowed to question viruses because science. And maybe not if this is going to play for us. Let's try that again. What is science? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And is it really important if viruses exist or not? Tonight on Deep Think with Pepe Farms Remembers, we tell Blue Anon to take their ad hominem and shove it right up their test tubes. The small-minded, dogmatic nature of humanity is on full display. Any question about today's authoritarianism du jour, and you are instantly labeled anti-science and dim-witted. Viruses exist because of course they do. Everybody knows they do. What else could cause disease? The Blue Anon dogmatic response is deafening. Viruses conveniently answer all of the questions our modern medical institutions couldn't answer. It's all so obvious. It fits so neatly into DNA, cancer, and all the other associated, quote, sciences. Does it matter that none of it is scientific? Does it matter that questioning the very existence of dogmatic beliefs like viruses is the very cornerstone of science? Does it matter if the egg came before the chicken? Yes, yes, and yes, yes, it does matter. One of the greatest scientists of our time described our modern cargo cult of science to a T in a 1966 talk presented to the National Science Teachers Association. Richard Feynman reminded us that science is the belief in the ignorance of the experts. He explained that all science starts with a guess, and that must be tested and verified through prediction and verification by experiment or experience. He adamantly extolled that any claim that science is not something the layman can participate in is not science, but is rather cultist dogma. So in that spirit, what experiment or observation can we make as laymen about the current COVID pandemic? Without triggering the appeal to authority types, let's take the CDC's U.S. COVID numbers at face value and presume they are reporting the numbers as accurately as they believe they can. What the CDC today is reporting is that all the types of disease that the CDC has historically recorded in the U.S. suddenly disappeared or diminished and was replaced with this new COVID viral disease. Using our common sense and what we personally know about death and disease from our life experience, does this experimental observation by the CDC make any sense? Sure, it's possible. Anything is possible. But the entirety of my existence tells me that the CDC reclassified well-known causes of death, like heart disease or the flu, as new disease and a new cause of death. We know, without being, quote, experts in the field, that because the total number of deaths is in the normal range and all the normal causes of death have disappeared, then either the CDC made a mistake or their numbers don't represent the truth. Is this misrepresentation of data science? What is necessary for the very existence of science?
A philosopher once said, it is necessary for the very existence of science that the same conditions always produce the same result. Well, they don't. If you set up the electrons in any way, I mean, you set up the circumstance here in the same conditions every time, and you cannot predict behind which hole you'll see the electron. They don't, and yet the science goes on in spite of it, although the same conditions don't produce the same results. That makes us unhappy that we can't predict exactly what will happen. Incidentally, you can make a circumstance which is very dangerous and serious, and man must know, and still can't predict. For instance, we could cook up, or rather not, but we could cook up a scheme by which we arrange photocells so that if it sees the electron, one electron is going to go through. If we see it behind hole number one, we set off the atomic bomb and start World War III. If we go see it behind hole two, we have just to make peace feelers and delay the war a little longer. Then the thing is that the future of man would then be dependent upon something which no amount of science can predict. So the world is, the future is unpredictable. What is necessary for the very existence of science and so forth, and what the characteristics of nature are not to be determined by pompous preconditions. They're to be determined, they are determined always by the material with which we work, by nature herself. We look and we see what we're going to find, what we find. And we cannot say ahead of time, successfully, what it's going to look like. The most reasonable possibilities turn out often not to be the situation. What is necessary for the very existence of science is just the ability to experiment, the honesty in reporting results. The results must be reported without somebody saying what they'd like the results to have had been. And finally, an important thing is the intelligence to interpret the results, but important point about this intelligence is that it should not be sure ahead of time about what must be. Now, it can be prejudiced and say, that's very unlikely. I don't like that. Prejudice is different than absolute certainty. I don't mean absolute prejudice, just bias. But not strict bias, see, not complete prejudice. As long as you're biased, it doesn't make any difference, because if the fact is true, there will be a perpetual accumulation of experiments that perpetually annoy you until they cannot be disregarded any longer. Only can be disregarded if you're absolutely sure ahead of time of some precondition that science has to have. In fact, it is necessary for the very existence of science that minds exist which do not allow that nature must satisfy some preconceived conditions like those of our philosophy.
Virology is declared to be the most important science to humanity today. And as we learned in our last episode, virology is based entirely on theory and consensus with no confirming experimentation. The dogmatic, quote, settled science retort sounds increasingly hollow. The self-defined science of greatest importance cannot escape its fundamental and founding theories, which by its own definitions can never be proven or disproved. It is accepted as truth because it is the only theory they have that fits their preconceived notions. Preconceived notions lead to reasonable possibilities that rarely turn out to be the situation. There is no science without honest reporting of the facts. There is no science without doubt.
Because of the success of science, there is a kind of a pseudoscience that social science is an example of a science, which is not a science. They don't do scientific. They follow the forms. You gather data, you do so and so and so forth, but they don't get any laws. They haven't found out anything. They haven't gone anywhere yet. Maybe someday they will, but it's not very well developed. But what happens is, at an even more mundane level, we get experts on everything that sound like they're sort of scientific expert. They're not scientific. They sit at a typewriter and they make up something like food grown with fertilizer that's organic is better for you than food grown with fertilizer that's inorganic. May be true, may not be true, but it hasn't been demonstrated one way or the other. But they'll sit there on the typewriter and make up all this stuff as if it's science, and they become an expert on foods, organic foods, and so on. There's all kinds of myths and pseudoscience all over the place. Now, I might be quite wrong. Maybe they do know all this thing, but I don't think I'm wrong. See, I have the advantage of having found out how hard it is to get to really know something, how careful you have to be about checking the experiments, how easy it is to make mistakes and fool yourself. I know what it means to know something, and therefore, I see how they get their information. And I can't believe that they know it. They haven't done the work necessary, haven't done the checks necessary, haven't done the care necessary. I have a great suspicion that they don't know that this stuff is, don't know, and they're intimidating people by it. I think so. I don't know the world very well, but that's what I think.
The lie of the expert. I've spoken of this before. Maybe they do have an insight I lack, but I too know what it is to know something. My professional life was spent fixing technical problems, be they electrical, electronic, coding, or systems integration. The hardest life lesson and the root cause of almost all technical user error is understanding our human ability to fool ourselves. You are the only thing that can fool you 100% of the time. As I write this, we learn from the medical community as sworn testimony in the Floyd death trial that medical examiners can choose from a, quote, practically infinite list of pathological conditions. To be clear, a medical doctor that specializes in unnatural causes of death is unfazed with an, air quotes, science that employs an infinitely variable cataloging system.
Now I'm going to discuss how we would look for a new law. In general, we look for a new law by the following process. First, we guess it. So don't laugh, that's really true. Then we compute the consequences of the guess to see what, if this is right, if this law that we guess is right, we see what it would imply. And then we compare those computation results to nature, or we say compare to experiment or experience, compare it directly with observation to see if it works. If it disagrees with experiment, it's wrong. And that simple statement is the key to science. It doesn't make a difference how beautiful your guess is. It doesn't make a difference how smart you are who made the guess or what his name is. If it disagrees with experiment, wrong. That's all there is to it.
And giggle the students did, because the very thought of science entertaining a theory that wasn't supported by prediction, experimentation, or observation was unthinkable, laughable. Yet here we are. The very latest, most modern generation of virology is presented as scientific fact with data that doesn't support its own premise. Are they just wrong about COVID, but all the other viruses are real? Do you remember the swine flu?
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? There's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hapwick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hapwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hapwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.
You're in charge. Somebody's in charge. This is your advertising strategy that I have a copy of here.
Who's it signed by?
This one is unsigned.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold. An Army doctor here sent samples of their throat cultures to the New Jersey Public Health Lab to find out just what kind of bug was going around here. One of those samples was from a Private David Lewis who had left his sickbed to go on a forced march. Private Lewis had collapsed on that march, and his sergeant had revived him by mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. But the sergeant showed no signs of illness. A few days later, Private Lewis died.
If this disease is so potentially fatal that it's going to kill a young, healthy man, a middle-aged schoolteacher doesn't have a prayer.
The New Jersey lab identified most of those soldiers' throat cultures as the normal kind of flu virus going around that year, but they could not make out what kind of virus was in the culture from the dead soldier and from four others who were sick. So they sent those cultures to the Federal Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, for further study. A few days later, they got the verdict, swine flu. But that much publicized outbreak of swine flu at Fort Dix involved only Private Lewis, who died, and those four other soldiers who recovered completely without the swine flu shot.
If I had known at that time that the boy had been in a sick bed, got up, went out on a forced march, and then collapsed and died, I would never have taken a shot.
The rationale for our recommendation was not on the basis of the death of a single individual, but it was on the basis that when we do see a change in the characteristics of the influenza virus, it is a massive public health problem in this country.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Okay, so maybe some of the virus and vaccine stuff is bunk. Most reasoning minds should entertain. But the government would never go along with big pharma and big science giving people shots that don't prevent disease, would they? Do you remember the Austrian wine poisoning?
While known to many from the most affected areas, the 1985 Austrian wine poisoning is often a hazy memory to those in Europe and entirely unknown to those outside of it. When asked about it, people will mention the unwitting consumption of hazardous chemicals and a mass public panic, but the details will be muddled or contradictory. Most sources with precise information are left untranslated, and misinformation about the event is commonly repeated through English publications. During the 1980s, Austrian wine had a reputation in Germany as a cheaper alternative to domestic and Italian wines. Often found in grocery stores, these wines were made specifically to meet the high demand for sweetness from German consumers, and the sweetest wines could consistently be priced the highest. The chief difference of Austrian wine, however, was that much of the industry had been arranged for mass production. In the course of testing this wine, numerous other scandals were inadvertently discovered, such as the fact that much of the wine market wasn't wine at all, but a special concoction named Kunstwein, which tastes remarkably similar to actual wine, yet contains no grapes. Supposedly, one company was making 100,000 liters of it every month. During testing, however, something odd was discovered. Some bottles showed small amounts of diethylene glycol, much smaller than what was in Austrian wines. At first, these German wine distributors suggested that diethylene glycol could occur naturally during fermentation, or perhaps in the pesticides used on the grapes. Chemists quickly refuted these possibilities. Then they attempted to blame the Austrian wines for contaminating their tanks, but these lies were thin. Such contamination would only result in trace amounts of diethylene glycol, not the 20 to 30 milligrams that were appearing in these bottles. The reason was simple and was admitted by multiple sellers. They had secretly been mixing their German wines with Austrian wines to enhance the flavor. With vast amounts of information being revealed to the public in such a short time, the media began focusing on this wine adulteration more and more, and affected wine was given a name, antifreeze wine, after reporters somewhat inaccurately stated that the chemical being used was antifreeze. While diethylene glycol is used as such in rare cases, other chemicals are far more common for the purpose. Despite this, the name antifreeze wine became the common term. By this point, the scandal had become a major cultural event, and a polka was even created in its honor. Zum Wohl Glycol, or in English, cheers to glycol. Reporters began investigating how long the government had known about this adulteration, and they noticed a discrepancy. On May 10th, the Austrian government alerted German officials that contaminated wine had been exported to their country. However, while the German government warned about drinking wine in Austria, the public wasn't informed that wine for sale in Germany had been affected, meaning that German citizens were still unwittingly buying wine with diethylene glycol. What wasn't reported was that, on May 30th, the German wine investigators were ordered to stop taking samples, suggesting that somebody in the upper echelons of the German government wanted this poisoning kept a secret. It wasn't until July 9th, almost a month and a half later, that a warning was given to the public. The reason for these strange occurrences was soon discovered. As opposed to contacting the German federal state, the Austrian investigators informed the Ministry of Viticulture in Mainz, whose chief concern was the well-being of the importers rather than public health. Hoping to salvage the wine, they kept this information secret and sought counsel to discover how much diethylene glycol would be hazardous to a person's health, and planned to approach the Minister of the Federal State for permission to issue new licenses that would allow the sale of antifreeze wine. Their plan was to discover the maximum safe amount of the chemical and allow winemakers to mix the affected wine with clean wine to reach this predetermined limit. When this was discovered, the public outcry was massive, and many demanded the resignation of those attempting to allow the sale of the antifreeze wine. 1 month after this revelation, one of the three people involved resigned, and the other two were transferred to other ministries.
Okay, so multinational organizations and multiple national governments will all conspire to sell adulterated, and in some cases completely fake, chemical soup as wine, for no motive other than profit. Well, why don't we throw in some eugenics for good measure?
Lee Dundas, human rights attorney. Late last week, I am informed a meeting occurred between Orange County Health Officer Dr. Clayton Chow and Orange County Board of Education Superintendent Al Mahars, during which time they apparently tried to find a way to, quote, sidestep and entirely remove informed parental consent for the COVID vaccine and also turn Orange County school campuses into vaccination centers. The COVID-19 vaccine is an experimental medical protocol authorized under the Emergency Use Authorization Act, and as such, you cannot mandate it for anyone, nor can you sidestep informed consent. There is a reason that kids cannot smoke, drive, drink, have sex, vote, or die for this country. And it is because the law says they lack the capacity to understand those decisions. And that applies here more than ever. Hear me loud and hear me well. We will not be morphing our school campuses into COVID vaccine centers for delivery of an experimental medical protocol that killed every damned ferret in the last animal study they did until such time they had to abandon that study. And then they didn't even do the study this time around because we are the study. The last time humans launched a plan like this to conduct experimental medical protocols on vulnerable populations was in Joseph Mengele's direction. He was an MD known as the Angel of Death. Okay, and he was part of the SS, and in 1943 he was assigned to Auschwitz, where he saw an opportunity to conduct gene research, quote, focused primarily on children with no regard for the health or safety of the victims. This is off the internet. You can Google it. You know what else is gene research? Experimental COVID vaccines with the trans gene inside of it. If you don't believe me, go pull the EUA application for the J&J shot. I come from a long line of Eastern Europeans, Hungarians, and Romanian groups that fled the persecution of the Red Terror communist death squads in the early 1900s, and those of us who didn't make it to America ended up facing the Nazi death squads in the lesser-known Holocaust that was the Romani Holocaust. There is a reason my daughter is named Katya. Her Romani great-grandmother was Caterina Cioma, and I, for one, have not forgotten the lessons of our history. The Third Reich did not end with experiments on children, nor when those children died. The Third Reich ended in 1946 when we put the doctors who committed these human experiments on trial in Nuremberg, and then we put them to death.
So how is any of this accepted as science today? Richard Feynman and those teachers way back in 1966 knew. And Feynman revealed the true nature of virus in our midst today when he explained what he believes science is. And I read to you now. What science is, I think, may be something like this. There was on this planet an evolution of life to a stage that they were evolved animals, which are intelligent. I don't mean just human beings, but animals which can play and which can learn something from experience, like cats. But at this stage, each animal would have to learn from its own experience. They gradually develop, until some animals, primates maybe, could learn from experience more rapidly, and could even learn from another's experience by watching, or one could show the other, or he saw what the other one did. So there came a possibility that all might learn it, but the transmission was inefficient, and they would die, and maybe the one who learned it died too, before he could pass it on to the others. The question is it possible to learn more rapidly what somebody learned from some accident than the rate at which the thing is being forgotten, either because of bad memory or because of the death of the learner or inventors? So there came a time, perhaps, when some species, humans, the rate at which learning was increased reached such a pitch that suddenly a completely new thing happened. Things could be learned by one individual animal, passed on to another, and another, fast enough that it was not lost to the entire species. Thus became possible an accumulation of knowledge of the species. This has been called time binding. I don't know who first called it this. At any rate, we have here some samples of those animals, sitting here trying to bind one experience to another, each one trying to learn from the other. This phenomena of having a memory for the species, of having an accumulated knowledge passable from one generation to another, was new in the world, but it had a disease in it. It was possible to pass on ideas which were not profitable for the species. The species has ideas, but they are not necessarily profitable. So there came a time in which the ideas, although accumulated very slowly, were all accumulations not only of practical and useful things, but great accumulations of all types of prejudices and strange and odd beliefs. Then a way of avoiding the disease was discovered. This is to doubt that what is being passed from the past is in fact true, and to try and find out ab initio, again from experience, what the situation is, rather than trusting the experience of the past in the form in which it is passed down. And that is what science is, the result of the discovery that it is worthwhile rechecking by new direct experience and not necessarily trusting the human race's experience from the past. I see science that way. That is my best definition. Another quality of science is that it teaches the value of rational thought, as well as the importance of freedom of thought, the positive results that come from doubting that the lessons are all true. You must here distinguish, especially in teaching, the science from the forms or procedures that are sometimes used in developing science. It is easy to say, quote, we write, we experiment, and observe, and do this or that, unquote. You can copy that form exactly, but great religions are dissipated by following form without remembering the direct content of the teaching of the great leaders. In the same way, it is possible to follow form and call it science, but that is pseudoscience. In this way, we all suffer from the kind of tyranny that we have today in the many institutions that have come under the influence of pseudoscientific advisors. We have many studies in teaching, for example, in which people make observations, make lists, do statistics, and so on, but these do not thereby become established science, established knowledge. They are merely an imitative form of science, analogous to the South Sea Islanders' airfields, radio towers, etc., made out of wood. The islanders expect a great airplane to arrive. They even build wooden airplanes of the same shape as they see in the foreigners' airfields around them. But strangely enough, their wood planes do not fly. The result of this pseudoscientific imitation is to produce experts, which many of you are, but teachers who are really teaching children at the bottom of the heap can maybe doubt the experts. As a matter of fact, I can also define science another way. Science is the belief in the ignorance of experts. And when someone says, science teaches such and such, he is using the word incorrectly. Science doesn't teach anything. Experience teaches it. If they say to you, science has shown such and such, you might ask, how does science show it? How did the scientists find out? How? What? Where? It should not be science has shown, but this experiment, this effect has shown. And you have as much right as anyone else upon hearing about the experiments, but, you know, be patient and listen to all the evidence, to judge whether a sensible conclusion has been arrived at. A man cannot live beyond the grave. Each generation that discovers something from its experience must pass that on, but it must pass that on with a delicate balance of respect and disrespect so that the human species, now that it is aware of the disease to which it is liable, does not inflict its errors too rigidly on its youth, but it does pass on the accumulated wisdom, plus the wisdom that it may not be wisdom. Feynman warned us that virology itself, a recursive fractal of misunderstanding and misrepresentation foisted upon us by a parade of cart before the horse enthusiasts, is the true virus in our midst. Let the radiator wine polka play forever in our collective minds as we tell the experts to get stuffed.
Ah, Entschuldigung. Komm in meinen Einsatz, das an. Ja, oh, 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 ja, ja, da, ba, da, da, ja, 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 da, ba, ba, da, da, ja, 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 ja,
Nothing plays out better than a polka, Jay.
Yeah, it does not. And that's great, great stuff, Pepe. I'm telling you, that was absolutely amazing. Great work, buddy.
Great
All
work.
Right,
great.
Yeah, go ahead, DP.
No, I was just going to compliment him, too.
Yeah.
Pepe, well, you did a great
really,
job on that.
Yeah, it was actually, it was really eye-opening, you know.
Yeah.
But, you
I
know,
mean,
you have to do the deep dive, you have to do the deep think.
Yeah. True. Very true.
All right, guys, let's get to the final thoughts. Final thoughts, Pepe.
Well, Jay, I hope Liz Cheney has her tombstone defaced with the words of John Adams, quote, no man will contend that a nation can be free that is not governed by fixed laws. All other government than that of permanent known laws is the government of mere will and pleasure. Or, alternately, defaced with Mr. Bean's admonition, your services might be as useful as a barbershop on the steps of a guillotine. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, BP, final thoughts?
Final thoughts are none at this point. I think we had a great night. Everybody have a good evening, all right?
Absolutely. And I'm sorry to Demon. We didn't get your call, buddy, but we were like trying to dive into what the hell's going on. Thanks to my co-host, Pepe Farms, BP. Awesome stuff as always, guys. Thanks to our listeners, as without you, well, it just wouldn't be as much fun. Join us on Gab at Radio Info Show. We'll see you next week. Get us out of here, Pepe.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money.
Yeah.
It's a bitch, girl, but it don't matter, because you know it don't matter anyway.
Say
money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Good night.